is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Many have their Bibles and will be turning to it. I'm reading at verse 35 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. This is God speaking to Israel, by the way. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. I would like to read again with you, please, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read at verse 6. A most familiar gospel text. Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet for adventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love, and that's an emphatic His love, it means His own love, unlike any other love, it's unique. God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My final verse is in Titus. It's chapter 1 of this little letter by Paul to Titus. Verse 1 of Titus 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I have before me tonight three plain truths from these three scriptures. We have read of appointed times, and I'm going to suggest to you that in these three passages you have the due time of calamity. In Romans 5 and 6, you have the due time of Calvary. In Titus chapter 1, you have the due time of the call. God has appointed times. This auditorium is often used for stage productions. Usually when the people come into such a program, they are actually given a written program that they can follow. There are particular schedules to be followed, and the program is arranged according to a certain time sequence. Many present in this auditorium tonight have maybe been here for some such productions. And you're well aware of the fact that oftentimes their time is out. The timing of the event often falls behind, and the program does not run according to schedule. I want to tell you tonight that God is never behind His time, and He never is before it. God is always on time, and the reason I have read these scriptures tonight is because I've been impressed with the fact that this is God's time of salvation. And when the desperate need of man was fully revealed, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. An engineer in the city of Winnipeg has written a book called Countdown, and he took for his title and for the theme of the book the usual countdown that precedes one of the rocket excursions, one of these great events that have become quite common in our lifetime. And of course his thought was this, that every one of us are really on a countdown, and our days are flying swiftly by, and each day we're drawing nearer and nearer to a certain destiny. We're drawing near to eternity. What I have to remind you about tonight may not be a pleasant subject, but friend, it is a most necessary one, and I believe that God has laid this upon my heart, not only today, but through the hours of the night last night. And I would like to speak to you as from my heart tonight, in love and tenderness to each man and woman, boy and girl present in this auditorium. There is a due time when our little lives will end, And eternity will draw near, and we'll leave the familiar scenes of time, and we'll go the way whence we shall not return. Jonathan Edwards preached on Deuteronomy 32 and 25 that we have read tonight in Enfield, Massachusetts many years ago. In this passage, he pointed out three very obvious things. He said, the place where you now are is slippery. His next point was this. The sinner is sure to slip sometime. And his third, the slipping time may be near. And I want to say tonight that the place where we are is slippery. We live in a day when men are demanding guarantees. Guaranteed income. Guaranteed full employment. Guaranteed pensions. But you know, my friend, there's very little in life that is really sure. I wonder, have you lived long enough to know that? So few things in this world are sure. So few. There's one thing that is absolutely sure. We must needs die. It's absolutely a necessity. And the very fact that I'm a dying man standing before you tonight is the evidence that I'm a sinner. It was sin that brought death. The concentration camps of the dead, which are so evident in every populated part of the country, are the evidence we must needs die. We're in slippery places. That's a solemn, solemn thing. The place where we stand tonight, or the place where we are located in time, is not guaranteed to any of us. It's a slippery place. Their foot shall slide in due time. Not too long ago, I was in the Cleveland Clinic, one of those large medical institutions that are usually the final resort of critically ill people. Most of the people, the 250,000 a year that go through the Cleveland Clinic, are people that have been already helped as much as possible by local doctors. And when the local doctors feel that all their efforts are not accomplishing anymore, quite often such people are sent to a place like the Cleveland Clinic. Most of the people who come there are considered already to be terminal cases. And so it's entirely different to be in a place like that than being in a meeting like this tonight. It was really a great shock to me to find out that the first day I was there, as I bowed my head to give thanks for my noonday meal and opened my eyes, I found a woman standing beside me. And she said, I saw you say grace. Are you a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. She said, I have a husband here, and he has a brain tumor. He's terminal, and he's asked me if I could tell him the way to heaven. She said, I've gone to church all my life. But she said, sir, I could not tell him how to get to heaven. Can you tell him? And I said, I have a Bible here, and the Bible can tell him. That was my first experience. I was there for many days. Some of those days I was able to move around. Other days I was not. When I was able to move around, I went from bed to bed. There was no such thing as trying to interest people in eternity. They were going to eternity. When I was not able to move around, they came to my bed. My dear father-in-law, who has gone to heaven, who was a preacher of the gospel, came to see me one day. And I was quite ill at the time, and they told him, you can stay for 10 minutes. And he stayed all day, but not talking to me. He talked to numbers of those people about God's way of salvation. And it was people coming to him and asking him, do you know the way to heaven? And I stood one day looking out the window of one of the rooms of that large institution with its many buildings. Down below me was Euclid Avenue in the city of Cleveland, and it was noon hour, and the people were rushing here and there, busy with their daily lives. And the thought struck me, what's the difference between those people on the street and the people in here? And I didn't answer the question to myself, without thinking about it deeply. This is the conclusion I came to, my friend. The people out on the street don't know they're dying. The people in here do. That was the only difference. I stood beside a man one day in another hospital. I was visiting with him and speaking to him about the very subject that we preach from this platform. With a heart monitor on him. And I could see as the little stylus went across the graph. And you know you've seen them. The great upstroke and then the downstroke and then the minor strokes that finally tail off. And then the little straight line and then the other upstroke. And I was watching the stylus go across the graph again and again. On that little screen. And I remember talking to the man and looking at the screen. And all of a sudden the thought came into my mind that the heart monitor is broken down. The machine isn't registering anymore. Because the line just began on the left-hand side and ran straight across. And then I looked at the man. Oh, the machine was operating all right. While I was standing talking there, I had seen a man's last heart. He was gone. Big, powerful, strong-looking man. But he was gone. Into eternity. My friend, many a time we've had an experience standing beside a man or a woman who was leaving life behind. They weren't interested in the hockey game or the basketball game or the World Series of baseball. They were interested in where they would be for eternity. And I would not be an honest man here if I stood before you tonight and did not speak to you solemnly and earnestly about the matters of eternity. Alvin Toplin has written a book called Future Shock. He describes a future technocracy that is already upon men where the accumulation of knowledge becomes so great that men are not able to cope with a world that moves with such speed. It's a frightening book to read. But I've read it. And when I read it, I thought, oh, there's a far greater shock in store. For many are living today, drawing their breath and taking it for granted. And ere long, they will be gone. And where will they be? Could I ask you that tonight? Do you understand, friend, that this is not anything but the mercy of God that would warn you? Can you appreciate the fact that this is tender compassion on the part of God that He would send those who speak to you about such an unwelcome subject? How true it is. Their feet are in slippery places. I can't read this passage without thinking of a personal experience. I'm telling it to you because of the point of it. We were constructing a gospel hall some years ago. Some came along to help us at times in the building. A big man came. When I say big, I mean compared to ordinary men, he was a giant. He weighed about 330 pounds and he's about 6'5". And he wanted to help us with the construction and insisted on climbing on the roof. It's quite a large building. By this time, we were just getting ready to put on the shingles. The man was determined he would get on the roof of the building, even though I pled with him not to do it. And when he got up on the roof, he found he did not have either the shoes or the ability to be able to stay on that steep slope. And while I was there almost with him, I saw the dear man start to slip. I can remember thinking there's nothing to get hold of. But there was nothing to hold on to at that point, just a flat roof surface. And I reached out for him, and I got a hold on him, but it wasn't a very good hold. Up above me was a little strip of wood. It was only what you call a lath, about a quarter of an inch thick and about an inch across. And about 6 feet long, I took hold of the little strip of wood with one hand, took hold of the man with the other. And he slid on, And the edge of the roof was there, and the drop was many feet, with jagged, broken concrete lying below it. I thought, this is it. This man is going, and I can't hold him. And he slipped until half of his body was over the edge of the overhang. And still I clung with all my might. Oh, I tell you, he was slipping. He was slipping, and I couldn't hold him. And in the mercy of God, a man saw the predicament, got an extension ladder, and got up under him, put the man's feet on his shoulders, and we helped him down over the edge until he didn't get up again. Do you see the point, friend? Can you grasp the picture? Slipping. Slipping for time. Many rose this morning in health, and they've slipped away. They've slipped into eternity. And if it were you, friend, where would you be? Where for eternity? The due time of calamity. I don't know where that day is for you. I don't know how long I have here. But I'm impressed with the great fact that many seem to feel that all is well, and every fear is calm, and little know that the slipping time is so near. In our own city, a dear boy used to come to children's meetings years ago. He sat in the front row many a time and sang the little gospel choruses, and it touched me to see him as he would ask for different numbers that were favorite to him. But Tim grew up. And it's years since Tim has been to a gospel meeting. And a few months ago, a Christian young man with real exercise in his heart sought out Tim. He's now 25. He was 25 years of age this year. And this Christian young man went to him, invited him to come to his home for dinner, showed him kindness, visited with him in the evening, finally took him back to his own apartment. And on the way, he spoke to him about salvation. And the response that came from Tim was this: I am not interested in heaven or hell. Don't talk to me about it. That was about 12 o'clock on a Saturday night. 10 o'clock Sunday morning. Tim had slipped into eternity. How unexpected. Oh, my friend here tonight, the slipping time may be nearer than any of us know. The passage we read in Romans 5 is the other side of the story. Although I'm a sinner and I deserve God's judgment, and I know that better today than the day God saved me, yet I can tell you tonight that I have salvation because there was one who in the time that God had appointed, in God's own time, when the fullness of time had come. You know, I'm sure that standing here tonight, if I tell you that this meeting is not arranged by us, that we did not tell Mr. George Telfer what we were going to preach tonight, yet he gave a summary of my little message as he stood here in front of you. And I'm absolutely certain that he had no knowledge whatever of what I would preach. In fact, the same thing happened last night. Without any collusion on our part whatever, the hymns that are given out at the beginning of the meeting are the exercise of our brother here. And last night he gave out the hymns that exactly suited the preaching. And to me, that's an evidence that the Spirit of God is guiding and controlling. And I thank God for that. And you remember at the beginning of the meeting tonight, we sang those lovely words about the Savior coming in God's time, in the exact moment when God had foreordained. For God is never behind His time. And from the heights of glory descended the Son of God into a world of sin. He found me in a helpless state. That's what it means when it says, when we were yet without strength, I was helpless, a poor, helpless sinner, unable to save myself or even help in my salvation. When we were yet without strength, There was a heavenly provision. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to tell you that verse tells us of a happy assurance. I'm standing before you tonight with this confidence in my soul. There was a Savior who died in my stead that a soul so unworthy might live. Oh, my friend, God sent His Son when the fullness of the time had come, just exactly according to the divine program. And that Savior whose life had been outlined in detail centuries before He was born. Could you do that? Could you outline the history of a man who is to be born 8 centuries from now? I know you couldn't. God did, friend. God gave us the birth and the life and the teachings and the rejection and the suffering and the death and the mode of the death and the cries of His death and the burial and the resurrection of His Son in 700 distinct verses of the Old Testament that describe the coming Savior. And He wasn't one moment behind His time. On the exact moment when God had ordained, the Savior came. And while the wicked men who took my Lord Jesus and nailed Him to the tree knew nothing of the divine program, it was at the time appointed by God, in the very hour when the Savior died, God gave His Son. And God was right on time. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to you tonight? It means, friend, if there's a helpless sinner here, there's a Savior, and He's able to meet your need. When we were yet helpless, in the hour of our deepest need, Christ died for the ungodly. I talked to a man not long ago who had recently escaped from a great tragedy. He went into a modern hotel, and as you would do or I would do, he paid no particular attention to the notice on the back of the door of the unit where he was that told of what to do in case of emergency, in case of fire. All the directions were there, but he paid no attention to it. He didn't read all that fine print, and neither would I. That night, that fire that swept that great building took the lives of a number of people. The first thought that man had when he realized the place was in flames was, oh, if I'd only read the warning. If I'd only taken time to learn the way of escape. Oh, my friend, that's what we're speaking about tonight. There's a way of escape for sinners. Will you take time to hear the way of escape? Will you take time to hear the warning tonight? Here's the way of escape. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And I am simple enough to believe that I'm the ungodly sinner for whom the Savior died. We would to God you would take that in tonight. It's not how you believe. People sometimes say, preacher, I wish I had that kind of faith. It's not the kind of faith. It's who you believe in. It's the Savior you trust in. Don't trust in a system. Don't trust in an organization. Don't trust in the word of man. But, oh, friend, will you trust Christ tonight? He'll save you. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. There's nothing I can do tonight that would in any way affect what happened to Christ back on that cross. What He suffered there is a reality. He died my guilty soul to save. And I've trusted Him. There came a moment in my life in this city on a Friday night in the West Toronto Gospel Hall when this poor sinner trusted Christ. Have you trusted Him? This is the due time of the call. It's old times, is the word of Titus chapter 1 and 3. What times? The times of preaching. Did you notice that's what we read? Paul, if he had known the words, could have said, Christ, the Son of God, has sent me through the midnight lands. Mind the mighty ordination of the piercing hands. He speaks of the preaching which had been given to him by God, his Savior. He recognized the Lord Jesus as his God. He had been sent out with a message to preach. This is the message, friend. And this is what God is pleased to use. Pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What time is it? The time of the Spirit's striving. When the Holy Spirit is moving upon hearts, this is the time to be saved, and not to think lightly of it, and not to pass by your blessed opportunity. Oh, friend, don't miss this time. You may miss heaven. What time is it? It's the time of the Savior's welcome. And the Lord Jesus tonight is ready to save. It's the day of the call, the effective call, the call of grace. Has God called you before? Do you remember times when God spoke to your heart? Were there times when you thought of your sins and meeting a holy God? You thought of eternity. You thought of the coming of the Lord, which would leave you in your sins to await the day of wrath. You ever thought of those things? Is God calling? Have you heard the call of God, friend? Perhaps some tragedy. Loved one taken away. You thought if it were me, where would I be? Call of God. God is calling still, and he calls patiently, and he calls tenderly, and he calls lovingly. It's the due time. It's God's time. It's the time of the call. Don't miss it, my friend. Don't miss it. God calling yet. Shall I not rise? Can I his loving voice despise? Basely his kind care repay. He calls me yet. Can I delay? God calling yet? Shall I not hear? Earth's pleasures shall I still hold dear? Shall life's swift passing years all fly? And still my soul in slumber lie? God calling yet, I cannot stay. My heart I yield without delay. Vain world, farewell, from thee I part. The voice of God has reached my heart. That's our desire tonight, that the voice of God in the preaching might reach your heart, and you might come to trust this Savior is yours. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. He won't always be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's near tonight. He won't always.